Today on Real Radio.
When I found out that they taught that when Cain killed Abel, God's judgment upon Cain was turning him into a Negro, they say, black man, as a curse, and that the descendants of Cain are black today. That was it. And in 1976, God divinely spoke to them and changed the doctrine so they didn't lose their nonprofit status as being a racist ministry. A lot of people don't know this.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative we know as the Book of Acts. We're hearing a presentation that takes a look at a portion of Scripture that is under disagreement by some scholars. Some believe that Paul the Apostle appears to be backsliding from the grace that the Almighty has granted him. Others see things differently. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in this presentation called Compromise or Just Being Wise.
And they said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads, thousands upon thousands of Jews there are who," listen, in your Bible, mark it, "who have believed," circle believed, "and they are zealous for the law." Wait, we got a problem here. They believe and they're zealous for the law. We have a problem. Verse 21, "But they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children or walk according to the customs." Paul never said that, people. That's a lie. It's an absolute lie and gossip. Paul never said to the Jewish believers, "Forsake Moses, stop circumcising your children, and don't keep the customs." He never said that. He said that circumcision and keeping the customs can't save you. You see the difference, people? Paul was reciting to them the grace of God in the preaching of the gospel. They're stroking their beard saying, "Paul, you see how many myriads of believers are here now? And by the way, they're very fond of the law." Paul had to stroke his beard for a minute and say, "They believe, but they're fond of the law? I thought Jesus came to free us from the law. I thought Jesus came to set us free from the law." Jot this down in your margin. The book of Romans and the book of Galatians had already been written at this point. If you know anything about those books, those are treaties on God's grace over the law. The Church of Christ was bound in legalism. Listen, people, legalism breeds confusion. Jot it down. Confusion, misunderstanding, and division, not to mention pride. And we're going to look at them right here. Second part of verse 20, they were bound by confusion. "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law." What they believed was this, people, that you can become a Christian by the grace of God. You receive Christ by grace. It's a free gift. Oh, yes, we believe that. But once you receive forgiveness, they believe now that you work to keep God's grace in your life, and you work at keeping the law to keep His acceptance and approval. And how do I tell you, my heart breaks for any of you in here this morning that are bound in that kind of confusion. I came to Christ. Remember the day you accepted Christ? Oh, glorious day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Remember that song? Who sang that song anyway? Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. It's true. Oh, happy day. And then a couple of months, maybe a year, maybe two into your Christian experience, you've gotten all bogged down with legalism. I don't feel accepted anymore. Why? I'm just not praying like I ought. Okay. What does that have to do with acceptance? What does that have to do with salvation? You see, we are guilty of the same thing. They believed in Jesus Christ, but they were fond of the law. And how many ministries, how many churches want you to come forward and accept Christ, go back into the room and get indoctrinated into the rules and regulations of a church, and send you out that back door into the world in a performance-grounded relationship with God? And can I say it gently, most as gently as I can? It's a hideous, disgusting perversion on the grace of God and salvation. And that's gentle. When you think of Jesus dying on the cross and being shred open for our sins, God's Son bleeding to death on a cross because we couldn't save ourselves, all to Him we owe, sin had left its crimson stain, but He washed it as white as snow. To accept that free gift and then say, okay, I got it from here, God, thank you very much, I'll take care of it, is an abomination to Him. You and I have friends who won't step foot in a church. I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. They've got a rotten taste. As long as I'm pastoring in this place, may we never, ever get into this thing about what you can do for God. Oh, sign up, brother, and see what you can do for God. No, no. It's open up your arms, brother, and receive what Jesus Christ has done for you. He set you free. Paul said to the church at Galatia, you ought to write this down, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, O foolish Chinohilians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, it was by faith. Are you so foolish then to have begun in the Spirit that you are now going to be made perfected in the flesh? Salvation, the law, the believer. This was settled way back in Acts chapter 15. Remember the vision? Peter was waiting for dinner to get done. He goes on top of the roof. He's sleeping. Remember that? Beautiful day near the beach. Caesarea, he's sleeping. Falls asleep. And there's an air vent, and they're cooking. And the vent's blowing, and there's fish tacos cooking up. Great. Flaky, white fish. Salsa going. They got the tortillas out there. It's perfect. Peter's sleeping, and you can see the aroma going across his nose, and he starts to dream. And he's dreaming, and he sees in heaven now this, in the sky, this big sheet comes down, and he looks inside, looks over the sheet, and looks around, and all these animals are running around inside the sheet. I'm in a smorgasbord, man. Turkey's running by, you know, rabbits going by, all these things going by, and there's cows going by, and he's going, man, I'm starving. And then this pig runs by. And Peter goes, oh my gosh, that thing's unclean. Oh, I mean, the whole lunch is unclean because there's a pig in the middle of the thing. Kosher guy that he was. And God says, hey, Peter, don't call anything that I've made unclean. Go ahead and eat. Oh, not so, Lord. I'm not going to eat anything unclean. I said, don't call anything I've made unclean. Rise up and eat it. This happened to Peter 3 times. He's a typical guy. Got to get it in there 3 times. I told you 3 times. And the answer comes to Peter. God has provided salvation for all people. He's created them all. Don't call anyone who's black or white or green or polka dot unclean. They're all mine. And Peter, you can do regarding food whatever's necessary, man. I've made them all. They're to be enjoyed and received with thanks. Isn't that what Jesus said to us? Jesus in John 4:14 said, but whosoever drinks of the water that he will give shall never thirst again. What on earth did he mean? But the water that I shall give you shall become a fountain or torrent or torrential waters springing up from your innermost life. Waters. Jesus gives us a drink of water and we'll never thirst again. What does that mean? It's spiritual talk. You take a drink of Christ and nothing else in the world will satisfy your thirst like Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger. But he who believes in me shall never thirst. Never thirst, never hunger. Come to Jesus. Same thing that he's talking to Peter. But those who seek to keep the law, listen, if that's you this morning and you're bound in legalism, your spiritual life will forever be retarded, people. You'll never grow. If you're trying to keep the law and meet the church's demands and regulations and walk in grace. You know what? You go to Home Depot and you buy some fertilizer and you put it in the dirt. And you prepare it. You put your stuff in there and add a little Miracle-Gro. And I guarantee you, my flower in the pot of Miracle-Gro is going to grow better than yours that's got just sand. Because everything there is present for it to grow healthy. You and I will not grow unless grace is understood in our lives. If you're legalistic, you're going to be bound up. You and I will fail, just like Billy Graham and John Paul, every day of our lives. Either externally or internally. We'll either do something, we'll lose our temper, or we'll have a bad thought. We will sin daily. And the only way you'll keep going and growing is by the grace of God. And the law and grace are mutually exclusive. Well, Jack, why did God give the law? God gave the law to bring you to salvation, to bring you to faith. Listen to this carefully. We are either receiving God's goodness and grace in our lives, or we're running around trying to patch and glue together the broken Ten Commandments. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom? Why? The way was opened up by his sacrifice. And a lot of people get the ladder and they try to sew the veil back up. Trying to work their way. The law was designed to bring you to Christ and say, this law is killing me. I need you, Jesus. Save me. And he says, all right. The law could never save us. It was never intended to save. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, this is the true effects of the law, Romans 7, 24. O wretched man that I am, Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I want to do what's right, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. That doesn't mean he goes out and sins. It means that he understands that his flesh was warring against his spirit and his desires. Do you ever have that struggle? How many of you have a struggle with the flesh and the spirit? Almost all of us. The few of you who didn't raise your hand, I need to see you after service. I want you to rub my head or something. I need it. We're all imperfect. We all need him as a savior. Paul cries out, oh, wretched man. Romans 7, 9 through 11 says, I was alive once when the law wasn't present. This means more to us than you know. I was alive once when the law wasn't present. But when the law came, sin revived in me and I died. And the law, which was to bring life, I found it to bring death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment of the law, deceived me and killed me spiritually. What does that mean? That means you're driving down the highway and you're having a great time. Imagine yourself, you're in a Lamborghini and you're moving. Man, this is great. And you haven't, for an hour, you haven't seen any posted speed limit signs. I'm having a great time. It's not even in your mind. Oh, boy! And all of a sudden, 55. Did that say 55? 55. Is that a black and white thing up there ahead? The law came into your consciousness. Uh-oh, the law has come in. I'm guilty. I thought I had life. But now I've broken the law, and now the very law that was there to protect me and guide me, I broke, and now I'm getting a $300 ticket. You see? That's how the law works. And these guys wanted to be believers in Jesus Christ, but keep the law also. And I think it's safe to say that the Western church, when I say I'm talking about America, I'm talking about Canada and Europe, many of them are bound in legalism because the grace of God is just too good to be true. It is too good, but it is true. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. Are you trying to be good enough? Imagine in this room there are people here right now who think that they're better than you are. There's people in this room thinking, well, I'm not so bad. You are more deceived than anyone. The Bible says, Galatians 2:16, that you cannot be justified by the works of the law by being good enough, but only by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Jack, I know a lot of people who believe, but their life hasn't changed at all. Then listen, brother or sister, they haven't truly believed in Him. They say they know Him, but they don't really. Galatians says that no flesh shall be justified, made sinless in His presence by trying to keep the law. The law says we're guilty. That's a tremendous thing. Can you admit this morning that you're a sinner? Paul knew that he was a sinner. He said that he was chief of sinners. Then Jesus would say to you this morning, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That is the law. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden, it's light. But are you not in need? I don't need that. I'm okay. I'll deal with it when I get up there. I'm not so bad. Then Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who literally practices sin, because you see yourself in no need. In the summation of all this, Paul said in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, for the message of the preaching of the cross of Christ is of absolute joke and foolishness to those who are dying, but it's the power of God for us who believe. And that's the bottom line this morning. Paul said he believed, and he forgot about himself and put himself in the presence of Christ. Then there were believers in Jerusalem who said they believed, but they kept the law. Well, listen, it may be so in your life this morning that the cross is an offense to you. You think it's a terrible thing. There's no other way to heaven. The second thing is in verse 21. They were bound by misunderstanding. Verse 21 says, but they have been informed about you, Paul, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children and walk according to the customs. That's just an absolute lie. It's not true. Paul did teach that circumcision cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Reason why we didn't baptize little Kendra this morning is because baptism, you can only baptize, according to the Bible, someone who is remorseful or repentful of their sin. You cannot baptize somebody unless they have first practiced remission, the Bible says. We dedicated her unto the Lord. Yes. Jesus gave us that pattern. Mark 10. But baptism are for those who have already accepted Christ. Paul the Apostle, who was the proclaimer of the gospel, he says, Jesus didn't send me to baptize people. In fact, I can only think of a couple people I've ever baptized. He sent me to preach the gospel. Why? It's when you respond to the gospel, that's when you're saved. Baptism is follow-up. And if you've been baptized without a personal relationship of Jesus Christ, you simply got wet. Well, what happens if you get circumcised? What happens if you're Jewish and you get circumcised? Well, you certainly are sore. But it doesn't save you. It's an outward manifestation display that you have internally received God, received Christ. And that's an affront to a lot of people. I know a lot of people, so do you, who are trusting to go to heaven because they're baptized as an infant. And that's a tragedy. Trimming the skin, cleaning up your act is not going to help you in the end. But look at this. The rumors were assailing about Paul. He never said such things. I couldn't believe this week. Don't tell anybody this. I'll pause long enough so we can edit it out of the tape. A brother came up to me Wednesday night and said, I got to ask you something. Certain people with white shirts and ties and 10 speeds came to my door. And I got my Bible and I was going through the scriptures with them, and they said, where do you go to church? And he said, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And these two young gentlemen said, oh, that's where Jack Hibbs pastors. Now that's one of the greatest compliments I've ever received. And they said, well, you need to get out of that church, man. Oh, how come, he said. Well, he was excommunicated from the Mormon church. He was. Why? Adultery. Really? So Wednesday night, the brother asked me, were you excommunicated from the Mormon church for adultery? I said, well, let me see. I left the Mormon church when I was a junior in high school. I don't remember being married. And that's not why I left. When they taught me that the reason why, listen, this is Mormon doctrine. They're not going to tell you this on your front door. When I found out that they taught that when Cain killed Abel, God's judgment upon Cain was turning him into a Negro, they say, black man, as a curse, and that the descendants of Cain are black today. That was it. And in 1976, God divinely spoke to them and changed the doctrine so they didn't lose their nonprofit status as being a racist ministry. A lot of people don't know this. When I saw that, I said, that's it. And I walked out. But you see, what's going around the hills from them is something different. What a compliment. It really is. They were making up stories about Paul. They were lying about Paul because he promoted the grace of God. What a tremendous thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Compromise or Just Being Wise. It's a look at several verses in the book of Acts chapter 21, and you can join us again on Monday's edition of Real Radio as we continue through this New Testament narrative. Now, if you're a regular listener to Real Radio and haven't visited realradioactive.org lately, we encourage you to do so. Once you're there, click Reaction and read those brief comments others have sent in. And then, of course, if you'd like to add yours, you'll know what to do. realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, or the traditional way, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you need to get in touch for any other reason, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.